Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Personalized show. And I can just get up here every day, like I do a lot of the times, and get into the news and get you hooked on the news, because the news is so hot. I mean, Trump is hitting them so hard, so fast, and so often they don't know what to do. They're recoiling. They don't know how to respond to what he's doing to them, which is great. He's throwing them off base. They're rioting. They're screaming outside Philadelphia today where he spoke. I really enjoyed C-SPAN for the first time in 22 years as they showed the fools marching. There they were, the educrats, the bureaucrats, the medocrats, the envirocrats, the krautkrats, the KitKats. They were all out there with the pink hats, just they screaming, yelling. The brigades of fools. And the biggest fools were the white feminists marching in solidarity with women wearing Palestinian scarves, marching for Sharia law. Now think about what I'm saying. You got lesbian feminists marching alongside women who are screeching to impose Sharia law, where lesbians are not treated very well, by the way, in nations that have Sharia law. But the useful idiot, of course, has no limit to their utility to the radical left and the Islamists in America. The best part of the protesters came at the end after Trump spoke. The crowd was going berserk with their stupid chants, hey, hey, ho, ho, and this and that, end hate by hating, you know, that kind of thing. So a guy is on the other side of the line, the Trump supporter, and he has a huge yellow sign that says liberalism is a mental disorder. That was like waving a red flag in front of a bull. All the mentally disordered liberals try to charge him. The cops stopped him. The country is a beautiful place to be right now. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about something very personal. We're going to have Congressman John Culberson on next hour. Now, many of you don't know who he is. Congressman from Texas, you figure, big deal. Savage, you're not big on guests. What are you doing that for? I had Culberson on a couple of years ago because he was on the subcommittee of Immigration, Justice Department. He tried very hard to block funding for sanctuary cities. Now, let me go back to this morning's conversation. I'll tell you as much of it as I can. So I booked John Culberson on because he's on the subcommittee on commerce, justice, science, and related agencies. Wait till I tell you what that means in terms of dollars and what he's going to do. He is one of the most important congressmen in America right now. Let me explain what this is. The administration is requesting a total of $67.5 billion for this committee. Did you hear the number? Listen carefully to what I just said. $67 billion for CJS, okay? Now, this includes $9.7 billion for the Department of Commerce, which he oversees, $29.8 billion for the Department of Justice. Think about that. Loretta Lynch's old department spends $30 billion a year, and about $27 billion a year for the science agencies, and $1 billion for the related agencies. Now, he oversees funding for NASA, a very, very big deal to me, and most interestingly to me, the NSF, the National Science Foundation. So now he's sitting on the subcommittee that funds these agencies, NSF, NASA, DOJ, Department of Commerce. And I called him before the show. I said, Congressman Culberson, how are you? He says, Mike, he's a real Texan. He says, Mike, I'm outside. And he's waiting to see Donald Trump in about 10 minutes, just before the meeting. He says, he's about to show up. He says, Mike, I'm always glad to hear from you. I said, no, I don't want to take you away from your important meeting. Donald Trump's about to speak. He said, no, Michael. He says, you're the one who put Trump there. He says, we all know that in Congress. He said, Michael, I've been following your show for 20 years. I'm one of your biggest fans. He said, you were preaching borders, language, and culture before anyone even knew what you were talking about. He said, you are a prophet. So we started to talk. And I said, you know, Congressman Culberson, you'll be on my show later today. But I wanted to pick up the phone and say, I'm very interested in who Donald Trump appoints to the NSF and the NIH and the CDC, because these issues of science and health are very dear to me. I've been really... He says to me, listen carefully. Now, this is a congressman who I thought hardly knew me. He says, now, let's see. He said, I know your PhD thesis. It was in a form of ethnobotany. Is that right? I said, how did you remember that? He said, well, God blessed me with a great memory. He says, if I'm not mistaken, he said, your plant collections are in 7 museums around the world. I said, Congressman, how do you know that? He said, well, I've been blessed with a great memory. So we started to talk, and I said, look, Congressman, some of the greatest corruption in this country is in the NIH and the NSF. Science funding is absolutely an embarrassment in this country. Every program has been hijacked to support the flawed theory of global warming. He says, I know all about that, Michael. I said, well, I'd like to help you. So then I jokingly said, should I resign from radio in the next year or two and come to Washington? He says, absolutely not, he said. Now listen to this. This is important for you to hear. This is a Bible-loving, true Christian man from Texas. He said, God chose you to help elect Donald Trump. You were the most important person in the media, and also to save Israel. That's what he said to me. Now, this is a Christian congressman from Texas, John Culberson. He said, your work is far too important to come to work for the government. But he said, I will make sure that you have the power and the influence that we need you to have in these agencies as an outside deputy of some sort. Did you hear what I just said to you? I don't know if I'm translating. You know, I sit here in a room alone. Here's my problem with life. Here's the disconnect between Michael Savage and the universe. I've achieved every goal I ever had in life. Every goal I've ever wanted to achieve, I've achieved. I talk to millions of people every week. I have one bestseller after another, and I started out as just a poet, writer, whatever. So you would say he's very successful, he should feel very great about it. But by doing the show alone in a studio, whether it's in a house or even at a radio station, which is better, by the way, because at least there's people around, you don't really know who you're reaching. You're just staring at a tree or at a bay or a bird. It's very hard to know how many of you are out there and how many of you are actually hearing me. If I were in an auditorium, I can read an audience as good as anyone on this planet. I can see by the movement, by the stirring, by the electrical energy whether I'm reaching you. And if I'm not reaching you when I'm in front of a crowd, I can change my pitch, I can change my approach, and I can reach an audience. Well, I think I'm doing the same here. So I got off the phone walking on air because I had long believed that in 2017, great things would change in my life. Well, maybe they've changed in ways I don't even know. But I think they're going to change again. Now, I told you that I also, in addition to being a great believer in God, I mean, who wouldn't believe in God, who knows how life works? I'm not a particularly religious man, but I know God exists. Who am I to doubt him? I love when atheists say, oh, I don't believe God exists. I said, oh, so let me see, Mr. Atheist. Because you don't believe God exists, the billions of people who do know that God exists suddenly don't have a God because you, Mr. Atheist, don't believe in God. Think of the egotism of an atheist who says, ha, bah, bah, there is no God. God doesn't exist, says the atheist. Oh, you mean he doesn't exist for you? It doesn't mean he doesn't exist for the billions of people on the planet who know he exists. You know what I'm saying? So the atheist, unfortunately, is lost. God doesn't exist for him. But for those of us for whom he does exist, I felt that God has kept me on this planet this long and taken me this far down this road for reasons that I don't even know. And I don't think I've fulfilled my destiny. And so again, coming back to Representative Culberson, he will join us next hour and we will focus not so much on science, which is probably boring to most of you, but to talk about how he's going to cut funding off for sanctuary cities like San Francisco. Well, yeah, I left my heart in San Francisco. They have a budget of $9.7 billion for this city. The roads are broken. The bums are everywhere. The city services are few. And they've never had it so good. But $1 billion of that almost $10 billion budget comes from, guess who? Donald Trump's hands. Comes from who? Comes from the government. The federal government sends $1 billion a year to this sanctuary city. They could cut that off like the air to an air hose. They could cut it off like the electricity to a power hose. They can cut that off, well, any way you want to do, whatever metaphor you want to use. They can cut it off and they will. And so the mayor of San Francisco, pay close attention to what I'm saying, all you leftist politicians who love to hate me, and listen to see if I'm going to trip on my words. $1 billion a year of your income to this city comes from the Subcommittee on Commerce, Justice, Science, and Related Agencies. Who is on that committee? Member of the House Committee on Appropriations is none other than Representative John Culberson, a Republican, Texas. He represents the 7th District of Texas from Houston. I have no congressman here in California. I have no senator in California. I have nothing but taxation without representation. I had to go to Texas to find a congressman. And let me tell you a little bit about that. A few years ago, I had donated a significant amount of money to the Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco because I'm an art lover. Well, I invited Representative Culberson out to a big dinner. I don't know who, it wasn't anyone who was speaking. It was a black tie dinner. I wanted the congressman to meet some people. He came all the way out from Texas. I tried to introduce him to some of these out-of-town hags who run the fine arts museums, these losers who live on Pacific Heights, who have nothing in their lives but charity events, and they snubbed him. They turned their backs on him, walked away from him because he was a Republican, and they thought they had all the power because they were in Nancy Pelosi's skirts. Well, as the worm turns, old Congressman Culberson and I still had a great time. In fact, I reminded him of it on the phone today. I said, remember when we went to that fundraiser in Liberal San Francisco? That gala event? He's, yeah, Mike. He said, I sure love being in Indian country with you. That's what he said. Let's talk that way. The guy's right out of a Western movie. Well, I said, you know what? You're going to be back here, and I wonder if they'll turn their backs on you again this time, John. You know, $67 billion is an awful lot of money that your committee controls. Okay, my friends, I said, say hello to Donald Trump for me. He said, oh, I'm going to see him in about 5 minutes. And he said, I'm going to say to him, President Trump, I was just on the phone with Michael Savage. He created the phrase, borders, language, and culture, and he was the first one and the longest one in the media to back you. So let me tell you something, folks. God sees the truth but waits, and I'll be back to talk with you about this and other topics, including all of the news, views, and reviews, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, my friends at Chamonix just got this letter from Doris in Boca Raton, Florida. She said, listen, I love Chamonix. My skin has never looked better, and my friends can't believe how much younger I look with Esotique XV. The appearance of my fine lines and wrinkles have diminished. The results have made me feel and look great. Thanks, Chamonix. Well, what better way to start 2017 than by looking 15, even 20 years younger? Listen, take my advice. Call Chamonix right now to try Esotique XV absolutely risk-free. Now for the first time ever, get Chamonix's brand. I have to stop this ad right now because some idiot is calling me. I'll repeat this ad a little later, my friends, because it's a very important advertiser. But, hey, I can't control my cell phone. This is the beauty of a spontaneous radio show. You have idiots calling you during the show who say they love you. So I just got an email from John Culberson, and he said this. He just spoke to President Trump minutes ago, and he said, Michael, he said, I said hello for you and thanked him for enforcing our immigration laws and securing our borders. Isn't that beautiful? That's amazing. Well, he'll be on in the next hour to talk about his committee. And to get back to the product I was telling you about, what better way to start 2017 than by looking 15, even 20 years younger? Listen, take my advice and call Chamonix right now to try Esotique XV absolutely risk-free. Because for the first time ever, you're going to get Chamonix's brand-new Genucel Dark Circle Treatment absolutely free with your order. Genucel Dark Circle Treatment precisely targets the dark circles under and around your eyes for a beautiful and flawless look. Call 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891, and you're going to try Esotique for yourself. If you order right now, Chamonix will also throw in top-selling Genucel for bags and puffiness, also free. Call 800-SKIN-891 or visit www.xvbeauty.com. And listen, if you don't see results, you don't pay. It's that easy. It's simple. 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891. KBOI, Chad, line two. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I thought I would call and remind you of your fortune cookie.
What was my fortune cookie? What did the fortune cookie say?
The one regarding significant changes in the next 3 to 4 months.
Here it is. I saved the fortune from the Chinese meal. I still even have not only the fortune from the meal, but I have the indigestion from the meal. And it says, remember, 3 months from this date, your lucky star is shining. So we'll see what happens. What is it that I want? Do you think I want to become a bureaucrat and earn a salary and a pension? That's not what I want. I want to have input over these science agencies because all of them have been politicized under Barack Obama. They're a nightmare of politics rather than science, engineering, and medicine. And I want to influence them and try to steer those ships in the right direction. It's that simple. That's what I'm trying to do. Thank you for reminding me about my fortune cookie. KSFO, Sarah, line 6. Go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage. I wanted to say I really enjoy your show. And then also, I was raised as a Democrat. I'm from an interracially adopted family, so I'm not white, but my parents are. So I have, like, all of the Democratic morals and the vocab and the verbiage shoved down my throat. And it wasn't until I hit the real world as an adult, and I started realizing that's, you know, this la-la land of ideal values really isn't true. I mean, man, when reality hits you and you're standing in line during the recession and the person in front of you is blinged out, right, with like an EBT card and your husband's hours get cut, you really start to question how you were raised.
You know, in other words, you see people ripping off the system, collecting welfare, food stamps, dressing well, driving new cars, and you say, how is this working, right?
Yeah,
and that's when you became a conservative, so to speak. Well, I'm sending you Trump's war because we have a big battle on our hands. You know, Trump passed executive orders, but don't assume therefore it's going to become law and the law is going to be enacted. We have a mini civil war going on in this country, and we're on the other side of those lines. All of us need to get together and fight in Trump's war together.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
It's how I begin. It's how I'll end. Raconteur, what does that mean? We create a racket. We create a racket, us raconteurs. Well, I'm interested in politics, and Trump did announce he's building the wall and going after sanctuary cities. He said Mexico will pay us back for the wall. We're going to play some of that. And when he was asked about Muslims by one of the guys at ABC, aren't you concerned that you're going to cause more anger among Muslims around the world? Trump says, anger. There's plenty of anger right now. How can you have more? It's unbelievable. We have all of that sound. And he's going to do an investigation on the millions of illegal votes, which we know exist. You see, the libs don't want us to investigate that. But I'll tell you point blank, if I was put in charge of investigating the illegal votes, it's really hard not to do this well. Here's how I'd begin. I would put an agent from the DOJ in every motor vehicle bureau in California to start with. Just California. That's not a lot of agents. Start in Corte Madera, California, the Department of Mexican Voting, DMV. And just stick an agent at every DMV in California and then tell me how many of them are getting driver's licenses and then getting the ability to vote and they're not citizens. And you got your answer right there. How many years have I told you the DMV became the Department of Mexican Voting? I risked my career in saying it, but ultimately it turned out to be right. We know it's true. Why do you think the libs were ushering them in so quickly? You go try to get your license renewed as an American white male and see what happens to you compared to people there with sombreros and boots from Guadalajara who are not citizens. They put them right at the front of the line, speaking to them in their native dialect. You got to stand on the side like you already remember the state. I know what's going on. I have nothing against Mexican people, but I was here first. It's my country. I want my license renewed first. Not somebody from another country, just so they can vote for Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi. So listen to this. I was in North Beach the other day. That's the Italian district of San Francisco, which hasn't changed that much. It's always been my favorite district of the city. Let me see if I can explain why. I've written about my view of this area in three of my novels. You know, Abuse of Power, Time for War, etc. But my description of San Francisco in these novels is pretty good. My description of the color of the bay, the China blue, living on the bay, the boats, the way it looks, the way the fog looks. It's as good as anyone's ever written about San Francisco. And, okay, so I know the city very well. I've lived here since 74. So the other night I go into a restaurant, and amazing things happen here. So I'm going to read this from Rich Lieberman's 415 Media. He's a local blogger. Let me just read it to you because you want to hear some fun. That's where he played The Godfather. Here's what he wrote, January 26, 2017. Michael Savage stirs up North Beach, gets star treatment outside SF Pinocchio's. There was quite a stir the other night in North Beach. You would have thunk the Beatles were reincarnated and positioned on Columbus Ave. Syndicated radio provocateur based in SF and heard locally on KSFO, the man with an extra bounce in his step, Michael Savage, emerged from Pinocchio's and got a standing O with what looked like every known member of San Francisco's old school Italians. It was a seat out of Goodfellas combined with a little taste of The Godfather. The only person missing was Francis Ford Coppola and Hollywood movie cameras. Savage is flying high these days with stellar ratings on his syndicated talk show, well-connected three-hour radio Zeitgeist, and has been home to President Trump, who has given Savage numerous interviews. In addition, Savage is close to finishing his latest book, due out soon, Trump's War, about the 2016 election. His last two books have been New York Times bestsellers. It was surreal to witness the scene as Savage was stopped from his walk to the car and high-fived by none other himself and best friend of Davey Rosenberg, good old Fat Tony, who was in a good mood despite losing a chess game to Ark Murphy. Fat Tony and Savage sat down and talked about the old Italians in North Beach circa 1976, when the Alioto family ruled and everyone drank Fernet and ate spaghetti and meatballs at Gino and Carlo. Savage was along with his sidekick Teddy, the smartest poodle on the planet, and Savage's secret weapon. North Beach was abuzz with the cops and ordinary citizens, and Maestro Savage conducting the orchestra. Bada bing, 415 Media. Thank you, Rich. He writes much better than Herb Cain, by the way. This guy's a good blogger. And of course I like him, because he likes me. Well, why shouldn't I like him? I should like you. I should like those who hate me, you hear? Anyway, that's a fun little thing. You can see why I'm attracted to this city, because there are pockets of old San Francisco here. And they're not just San Franciscans. Last night I was outside a restaurant in Marin County, California. I just took a walk, and a middle-aged woman comes up to me and talks to me, and she says she's from the Bronx, from Arthur Avenue. I'm her only lifeline to reality, living here from New York. She's lived here 40 years. She's going crazy with the liberals around her. Then she has to go back to Arthur Avenue in the Bronx, she said, to get a dose of reality. So there's a lot of people out here who do like me, despite the fact that the phony liberals hate me. But the fact of the matter is, I could care less about the haters. Don't you love how the haters are out there screaming, stop Trump's hate, and they do so with hatred? How does that work? Does anyone figure that one out for me? How do you stop hatred with hate? Does that work? WABC Mark, line one, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Doctor, I want to congratulate you on your conversation with the congressman. It's a wonderful recognition, an unsolicited recognition of everything you have worked so hard for. And it's 100% true. God is involved in this, and he's involved with you quite closely, I believe.
Mark, I don't want to get into it, because there are God-loving people who believe me, and then you have those who are, let's say, nice people, but they don't believe in God, and they'll think it's nonsense. I truly believe, if I look back on my whole life, which has been very long, by the way, much longer than I ever thought it would be by double at this point, I believe God, in many ways, guided my steps every step of the way just to help elect Donald Trump.
I don't doubt that. You had a call from Nebraska, who was a preacher.
A couple of weeks ago. He was great.
Great call. I'm of the same mind. Michael, I know you're a student of the Bible, and you know what the prophets of the Bible did. There is no doubt that you are being used in some capacity as a prophet of the modern age through technology, through the Internet, through the radio. God speaks. He doesn't speak the way he used to in the Old Testament with the big booming voice from heaven, but he speaks through people, and he speaks through the Bible, and he's speaking through you. You're edifying a nation, the people of a nation, on the lies and the misinformation that's being force-fed pablum, like fed like pablum to these poor deluded.
Are you a regular church-going person?
I am, sir.
Where? What, a Catholic church, I assume?
Non-denominational Christian church. But I'm raised a Catholic, so I've been a Christian my whole life.
Are you a little disturbed by this Pope and how he steered the church so far to the left?
He's meaningless to me, I hate to say.
It bothers me when I bring up the Pope's machinations, because people will think I'm bashing Catholics, but I'm not. I'm trying to expose a false prophet, in my opinion. When I saw the things he was doing and what he was saying, and the utter hypocrisy of this Pope, when I've gone out of my way to defend popes before, going all the way back to the Pope who existed during Hitler's time, who I defended when he was being attacked on the radio 20 years ago, I think that I can honestly say this Pope is a sham and a fraud and a danger to the Catholic Church.
I think your words are true, and I think that no Catholic should feel that you're bashing Catholics, because you absolutely are not.
All right, well, let's move that one aside. I want to thank you. I'm going to send you a copy of Trump's War. Please stay on the line, and Jim will take your phone number, even though Jim needs an energy drink or a triple espresso right now, which I can't send to Dallas. But we'll get one down in an ambulance as soon as we can. It should be there in about 3 days, Jim. Hang on. Help is on the way. The espresso is on the... You know, I could use a double espresso right now. I didn't even drink last night. I had one Bloody Mary, half a Bloody Mary. I don't drink Bloody Marys. I've been drinking... that's not your business. You don't know what I drink. I have a very peculiar relationship with alcohol, which is very, very interesting to talk about. Let's talk about alcohol for a minute. I think it's an interesting conversation. There are months that I don't drink wine. Then there are months that I only drink wine. There are months that I drink vodka. Then there are months that I don't drink vodka. Most of the year I don't touch beer, even though I love beer, because beer is fattening and it gets me, I don't know, it gets me bloated and sick. So last night all I had was like one shot of vodka and tomato juice, a little Campbell's can. So the guy says, you want the Bloody Mary mix? And I said, no, that stuff is garbage. It's poison. Just plain old Campbell's tomato juice and that vodka. That was all just a big deal, not a big deal. One drink was enough. How is it now that one drink I get where I want to go? See, if you're an alcoholic, I was told, which I've never been. I've talked to alcoholics who were at AA, and they said, you're not an alcoholic even though you drink a lot. I said, why? They said, because an alcoholic cannot control the limit. They have no limits on what they drink. I said, how does that work? They said, well, you have one drink or two, and you say it's enough, you feel it, you don't drink anymore. They told me that alcoholics have no feedback mechanism, and they don't know when to stop. So they drink till they're basically stupefied. They drink to lose their consciousness, I suppose. I never did that. When I was a kid, maybe once or twice I got drunk. But, I mean, that's my relationship to alcohol. And the reason I like alcohol as opposed to marijuana is very simple. It's very difficult to titrate marijuana, number one. You don't know where you're at with it. You don't know how strong the marijuana is. You don't know where it's going to take you. Alcohol can easily be titrated, meaning if you're in chemistry, you can titrate the amount of liquid solution that you're putting into a mixture. So with alcohol, you know whether it's 1 ounce, 2 ounce, and that's it, or three, four, whatever you're going to do, okay? And don't call me on alcohol and marijuana. It's that simple. David on KLIF, line 3, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm a long-time listener. Never called in before, but I was listening to the news today, and sanctuary cities are in the news, and I see an opportunity for Trump to maybe push back on the media, because all the outlets keep saying that sanctuary cities protect immigrants, and that's not true. Sanctuary cities protect undocumented immigrants, and if he could push back on that distinction and push back on the distinction that every immigrant, by definition, is here legally, or they wouldn't be an immigrant, they're all sanctuary cities if you're an immigrant, because if you're an immigrant, you're here legally. So, you know, just I see it as an opportunity to push back. I'm a former ICE agent, former Border Patrol agent.
You're former, but did you see what went on today with the Border Patrol? He fired the head of the Border Patrol. He fired him right off he just fired him.
I didn't even see that, but, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't know who's running the Border Patrol. I've been removed from it for several years. But you know how it is with bureaucrats. You've got political appointees. It could have been an Obama political appointee. Who knows? Like that.
You know that, yeah, but he got rid of him. He got rid of him. This is the guy who was supporting illegal aliens, preventing the agents from doing their job.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And he got rid of him. He just fired him.
Great.
But it's going to take years, according to the Border Patrol, to secure a nation. Border Patrol officials said it will take years to secure the nation. Do you agree with that it'll take years?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because when things started going bad with the Border Patrol, we lost, as agents in the field, we lost support from our upper echelon command staff in Washington. You know, people who were able to make moves to other agencies left. And all the experience and all the agents who were there because they really believed in the job, but felt that they weren't getting any support, they left. They went to DEA, they went to U.S. Marshals.
Yeah, but we all know that armies can be turned around with new leadership. In other words, when you bring in a new leader, whether it be a field commander or a general, and he takes a demoralized army and he reinstitutes the morale in the troops, and he redirects them, and he defends them, and protects them, empowers them, that army can turn around rapidly, and I don't think it's going to take that long for the army of Border Patrol agents to get that border under control. I really don't. And I'm going to send you a copy of a Trump's War where I talk all about how we can secure the borders rapidly and how we can save America from the people who have been overrunning us, by the way. So he today described how he's going to fund the wall. He's going to put a 20% tax on Mexican imports. That's all. Simple. That's him. Trump wants tax to pay for border wall. You agree or disagree with that? Donald Trump wants to pay for his proposed southern border wall by slapping a 20% tax on imports from Mexico. Wow. And he wants that in the comprehensive tax reform package. He said that taxing imports from Mexico would generate $10 billion a year and easily pay for the wall. That's awesome. So what products come in from Mexico that they could tax? Let's not make jokes now. I mean, we know that there's a lot of contraband, but what does Mexico produce? Well, an awful lot of things, because a lot of American companies move to Mexico. So if you tax imports from Mexico, that's a good idea. 20% tax, that's great. It'll encourage the companies to come back. So he is going to bring jobs back. It's going to happen. You know? I got some great callers. If you want to become one of the great callers of the Savage Nation, the phone number is 855-47282. Remember, in the next hour, we have Representative, my congressman from Texas, John Culberson. I have no representation in California. It is a total and absolute disgrace that there's not even an opposing party in this state. It is a one-party dictatorship ruled by Jerry Brown and Willie Brown. And the fact of the matter is there's no opposition in the city nor in the state. I, Michael Savage, have had to go to Texas to get my representation. John Culberson is coming to be with us next hour. And here's the rub, my friends out here who are laughing. He now controls he's on the Subcommittee on Appropriations. He's a member of the House Committee on Appropriations. He is the chairman of the subcommittee that's responsible for the entire Department of Justice, the science policy of the U.S., and the Department of Commerce. So guess who's going to have the last laugh? All you great liberals here in San Francisco. Have a nice break. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Nice little story for you. New Jersey teacher who traumatized teens with nude selfies and oral sex blames her Muslim upbringing. That's a new one. A former substitute teacher in New Jersey has been sentenced to a 3-year prison sentence for sending raunchy nude photos and at least one case engaging in oral sex with 3 different male teen students. The teacher is Linda Hardan, reports the Bergen Record. Anyway, without going into details, the kids were 16, 16, and 14. She was a sub, a real doll, this one. I'll be she has a scarf on her head. Yeah, all right. The pimples, I don't know where they came from. I guess the religion didn't prevent the pimples. So she sends nude photos of herself to the 14-year-old boy. She takes him to the Passaic River, Great Falls area. She performs some unidentified sex act on him. I can just imagine. The boy got so freaked out and so disgusted that he got out of the car and walked home. Well, what'd he go for? What do you mean he got in? What did he go to the? Yeah, this is so stupid. He was so disgusted that he got out of the car and walked home. What did he go to the river with her for? What do you think they were going to do? Study math? Hardan provided oral sex. So she goes before the judge and she pleads guilty and starts to cry. The judge stops the proceedings and she says that Hardin's strict Muslim upbringing had caused her to send raunchy photos and engage in sex acts with the male teens. Are you listening to this? This is great. That's like cutting off someone's head and saying, I'm sorry I did it because of my religion. I couldn't control myself. All right, you're innocent. Next liberal. Yeah, it's unbelievable, these judges.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
A group of interlopers, radical leftists of the lowest order, used to be a great state where there was a balanced you know, a mix, Democrat, Republican. They would argue over things. They would negotiate. And then as a result of the very clever use of illegal aliens, mainly Mexicans, non-citizens, to vote, we've had hags like Pelosi, Feinstein, seizing power and holding on to power, even though most Democrats cannot stand them because they know that they're corrupt and they don't represent them. They represent themselves and they represent special interests, and everyone knows that. There is no Republican Party. Now, it's been said that money is the mother's milk of politics, right? We've all heard that. Well, if that is true, it seems to me that whoever controls the purse strings of the state of California has an awful lot of influence. Now, the sanctuary city of San Francisco, which I live in and love so much, has a budget of $9.7 billion a year, of which $1 billion is controlled by the federal government. $1 billion of the $10 billion San Francisco budget comes from the federal government. If they cut off the Department of Homeland Security money, the DOJ money, and the other aspects that they have, the other avenues, rather, of money that they can control, they're going to force all of these phony liberals in San Francisco and the state of California to do one of three things. Either get along with the federal government and start to crack down on the illegal immigrants, close down the sanctuary cities as they have been mandated to do, or to be big idiots and say, we don't need your money, we'll do without it. Where are they going to get the money from? What, they're going to raise property taxes in San Francisco and the state? Goofball Brown is going to raise taxes on the rich again, driving the few people out who are the engine of the economy? That's what their choices are. So at the bottom of the hour, excuse me, we're going to have Representative John Culberson of Texas, who I turned to for representation 5 years ago because I have none in California. I have no congressman. I have no senator. I have nothing. So I met him when he was out here, and I liked the guy. I had him out here a couple of times, and I'm going to say it again, I had given a donation, a nice donation, to the Museum of Fine Arts here, the DeYoung Museum, and I brought Congressman Culberson out to a dinner to meet some people. They turned their backs on him, the old hags who show old shoes and old dresses and call it art. They turned their backs on him. Well, as the worm turns, this congressman who they turn their backs on is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Commerce, Justice, Science, and Related Agencies. He controls the entire budget for the Department of Commerce, the U.S. Department of Justice, and Science Policy of the United States. And he'll be out here to visit with me in late February. Probably I'll take him up to dinner in North Beach somewhere, or to Chinatown, frankly, without announcing our arrival. But this man is such a believer in science. His particular pet is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and he's going to come out and visit that in Pasadena. He's a big, big supporter of NASA, as am I, and he oversees, of all things, the National Science Foundation. And boy, that is of such great interest to me. So we'll be talking with him about that and what he said to me and my role in helping elect Trump and all of that, and what I want to do to help science and such here in America, in NASA, or excuse me, in the NSF and in science in general, and see if he can help me help them steer these bureaucrats in the right direction. As an outsider looking in, by the way, I'm not leaving radio to go to work for the government, but I'm talking about in some advisory capacity. That's what I'm talking about. Now, in the last hour, I mentioned that Trump said he's going to tax good coming from Mexico at, I think, 20% tariff to pay for the wall. I have callers on that right now. WNTW in Virginia. Jan, you don't like...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Those of you who are avid listeners, we went out a little early because we lost our ISDN connection just for a brief minute, so we went to ads. But now I'm good with you right to the bottom of the hour. Then we take another, you know, commercial break. Then the congressman comes on to talk about all the things he funds, including sanctuary cities, and what he's going to do about it. Pay careful attention in San Francisco, New York City, Mayor de Blasio, and your minions. pay careful attention. You can dismiss me all you want. But let me tell you something. Don't be too glib about dismissing Congressman Culberson, since he's responsible for the U.S. Department of Commerce, U.S. Department of Justice, and science policy of the U.S., and he controls $1 billion of the money that goes to San Francisco. You can imagine what he controls of the money that goes to New York City. Can you just imagine the kind of graft in New York City for sanctuary cities? What do you think, they really just help illegals with the money? What, are you joking? You ever see what kind of cars these bureaucrats drive, what kind of vacations they take? Yeah, okay. Pay close attention. That's all. All right, 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. Let's talk about the big topic. Trump said he's going to pay for the wall by putting a 20% tax on Mexican imports. Mexico got freaked out and pulled out of a meeting with him. The peso has gotten crushed. Sanctuary city mayors are putting up a big front saying they're going to defy the president. Border officials are saying, oh, it can't be done. It'll take years to secure the nation. They are wrong. Trump is spinning their heads with a pace that they cannot believe. One day after another, they're being spun around like a pinball machine. His approval, has it gone down or up? It's hit 59%. That's right, you heard me. I told you yesterday something no one has said. If the election were held today, he would win by a landslide. We know he won by a small margin, and we also know he lost the popular vote. Let's put aside the illegals who voted. I'm telling you right now, if that election were held today, he'd win by a landslide, because most people have seen he's not the demon that the radical left has made him out to be, number one. And number two, they approve of everything he's doing. Who wouldn't approve of what he's doing? Oh, I know who wouldn't approve. Take a look at the people who are marching in Philadelphia today. There were the brigades of people who work for the EPA, people who work for Medicare, people who work for these health agencies. These are bureaucrats who are going to lose their job. They were outside the federal building marching there. And, of course, the useful idiot college girls. There they were, the useful idiot college girls. There you had a lesbian feminist screaming with a pink hat. And next to her was a woman screaming for Sharia law. Now, let me ask you something. If that doesn't exemplify my motto that liberalism is a mental disorder, tell me what does. Listen to what I said. A lesbian feminist screeching against Trump. Next to her is a woman wearing a scarf screaming for Sharia law in America. Is that a little incompatible? Have you seen many lesbians in Arab Sharia countries? I haven't. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's an island of Lesbos that I don't know about that's all Muslim. Because I have not seen this. Okay, that's it. Now let's take your calls. What about that tax money? What would you do? Now, remember what I came up with on this show because I'm a caller months ago? It's the most brilliant of all ideas. I think I'll have to send it to Donald Trump. You know, Culberson's coming on. I'm going to say to him, a caller called in the show, and he put out the idea first, faster than me. But then I ran with it. He said, Mike, you don't even have to tax Mexican goods. Just put a 20% tax on every Western Union wire being sent to Mexico by Mexican workers who are sending their money home to their homeland tax-free. Just tax the money that they send home. What's wrong with that idea, right? That's sort of getting back the money that they're basically getting away with not paying. What do you think about that one? Phil on WABC. What do you think about taxing the wires out to Mexico?
I think that it's a great idea, and I think that it will bring a lot of money. For the hardworking illegals that are here, they're getting paid tax-free as it is, and they should pay some sort of tax to wire this money into a foreign economy.
Right. What is wrong with taxing money that they're sending home? You know that they're working under the table because, for whatever the reason is, they're working off the books, right? So let's say they're making $20 an hour, $25 an hour, tax-free. That's a lot of money when you realize they're not paying Social Security, they're not paying taxes. So what are they doing with the extra money? They're sending it to their home country, right?
Right, and then what happens is they stay here for like 20 years or whatever the case is, have kids, they go back and they live in mansions. What's $50,000 worth in Guatemala? U.S. dollars. They're rich people in their home country. They go back.
God bless them for working so hard. We all respect hard workers. But if they're not paying their fair share of taxes and they're sending it home to their countries, I think we should consider taxing the outgoing wires. Thanks, Phil. This is the Savage Nation. You care to comment upon that? KLIF, Daniel, Line 6. How would you pay for the border wall? What would you do?
My comment is on the 20% tax on goods coming from Mexico.
Yeah.
That would give those who support the building of the wall, if they want to feel like they're a part of it, they can buy products coming from Mexico.
Well, I don't mean to be facetious, but what products come from Mexico?
There's some clothing that's made there.
Well, a lot of American cars and trucks are now made down there. Doesn't Ford have a plant down there?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
So, what would you call that, a Mexican manufactured product? You know, I mean, let's be serious for a minute. I don't really know. I know that a lot of Maquiladoras factories move down there because of the cheap labor and to screw the American worker out of a fair living. And they got hardworking Mexicans working for one-third the wage, if that. Okay, that's the way capitalism works, unless it's controlled capitalism. And so Trump is actually trying to make capitalism fair again. By the way, when you think about it, you think about what he's doing. He's making capitalism fair again. He's not saying I hate Mexicans. He's saying I love Americans. It's two different things. You know, you can't dance at two weddings. There's an old saying that you, well, how do you put it? I got to do it in a family-friendly way. I know it in another language, and it goes like this. With one behind, you can't dance at two weddings. I can say it in the other language, but it will only be a few people who would hear it. It's a famous folk phrase. With one behind, you can't dance at two weddings. So Trump can't dance at the American wedding and the Mexican wedding. So he made a choice. He's going to dance at the American wedding. It's not that he dislikes Mexicans. He just is the representative of American people who live here, North Americans. So he's saying American first. That's all. What's wrong with that? Anyone who understands that that is what a leader is supposed to do, is represent the will of the people and the, let's say, the goodwill of the people, knows that he's doing the right thing, which is why his approval now is at 59%. You're not going to hear that on CNN. 59%, according to the latest Rassaman report, 59% of likely U.S. voters approve of Trump's job performance. 41% disapprove. That's amazing. See, I told you if the election were held today, he'd win by a landslide. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. How would you pay for the wall? How would you pay for the wall? What would you do to pay for the wall? ISIS drone dropping precision bombs alarms U.S. military. Here we go. Oh, God. Here's another headline from Drudge. Stop Soros movement sweeps Europe. Well, that's long overdue. But there's a young Soros, there's a mini-me Soros listening to this show probably in Manhattan right now because he knows how much I respect his family and how I love what him and his father have done for this country. This guy could use something for those eyelids, boy. Maybe I should send him some of the product. He's got a pair of droopers on him. Maybe I can send him some of the free material. A new initiative called Stop Operation Soros, SOS, is launching in the Balkan nation of Macedonia to counter the influence of Globin's billionaire money trader George Soros. Oh, my God. You see, Soros-funded NGOs have monopolized civil society in Macedonia and used their influence to suppress dissenting views, according to co-founder Nikola Sbrov. Now, the Open Society Foundation operates under the Soros money and has used its funding to support violent processes in Macedonia, he said. Well, you get the picture? Open society, my eye. It's not an open society at all. He's funding closed societies along the line of the ex-Soviet Union. Everybody knows that or studies this devil. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. How would you shut down the border? Richard in K-E-Y-S country in Texas, line 9. Richard, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Michael Savage. Good to talk to you. I agree 100% with the taxation of any kind of products coming out of Mexico. That'll be great. I think that'll drive a lot of the manufacturers who have moved over there to want to come back. And once again, make this country a good country.
All right, so you agree with Trump's idea to fund the wall by putting a 20% tariff on Mexican goods. Good. Now, here's a guy talking about guitars. Charlie on WYAB in Mississippi, line 4. Tell us about guitars made in Mexico.
Hey, Dr. Savage, long-time listener. Yeah, you got Fender, who makes a Stratocaster. There's a Mexican Stratocaster, and there's an American Stratocaster. It's almost the same guitar, but you're going to pay probably $500, $600 more for the American Stratocaster than you would for the Mexican Stratocaster, yet it's almost the same guitar. If you go in there and play, sometimes you might end up buying the Mexican Stratocaster if it feels right to you.
So let me see if I understand this. The products are equal in quality, but the Mexican guitar by the same manufacturer is cheaper in price, and so ultimately the consumer will be hit by this, is what you're saying.
Right. It says it right there on the guitar. They proudly put Made in America or Made in Mexico. And any guitar player who buys a Fender Stratocaster, you know, they're proud to have that Made in America because they know, one, it costs more. And a lot of people might say it does play better. It sometimes, you know, maybe feels like it was just made better. Taylor guitar does the same thing. You've got the American-made Taylor guitars, which make acoustic guitars, and then you've got the ones made in Mexico, and that's their lower line series, and they cost a lot less, too. Very similar, it's just a different series, made in Mexico.
Interesting. Well, that's a very interesting story you just told, because I guess the consumer is going to have to pay the higher price, either in an add-on tax of a 20% for the guitar made in Mexico, or just buy an American guitar and eat it and pay $600 more. I know that the average consumer will buy it for the lower price. Let's face it, most people who play guitar are not rich. All right? They're not all rock musicians, correct?
Right. I play guitar.
See, that's the whole thing. I mean, people want to play guitar. They're going to buy the cheapest guitar they can get for the best quality. I would do that. See, well, America first is nice to say it, but are you going to pay $600 more? That's a great point. And so that's another story. How would you pay for the wall if you were advising Donald Trump? Coming up right after the break is Representative Congressman Culberson, who I've told you so much about. I'm very excited to have him on the show because he controls so much of the budget, including the money that goes to the sanctuary cities like San Francisco. So I got to tell you, as the worm turns, I may turn out to be the most influential Republican in California. I'm a member of Congress without portfolio, as they used to say in England.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome a great American, Congressman John Culberson of Texas. He's the chairman of the Subcommittee on Commerce, Justice, Science, and Related Agencies. That sounds like a lot of gobbledygook. Nothing, right? Well, you're wrong. We're all concerned about sanctuary cities. Well, they don't run on air. They run on money. And Congressman Culberson just happens to sit on the budget that controls the Department of Justice. Congressman Culberson, welcome to the Savage Nation. So glad to have you. How are you today, my friend?
It's great, Michael. What a privilege to be with you on this day when it's just like Christmas every day, having Donald Trump in the White House.
Well, I know I called you excitedly before you had that great meeting in Philadelphia and you got to meet the president again. How was that today? Tell us about that firsthand.
Well, it truly was wonderful to have a president who understands exactly where the mind of the voters are, Michael, where you have been for many years. And I've told you this privately, I say it again publicly. Michael Savage understands the heart of the American voter, just as Donald Trump does. You understand it's about borders, language, and culture. It's about enforcing our laws. If you do not have borders, you do not have a country. And ensuring respect for our nation abroad, our law enforcement officers at home, protecting American jobs, the American economy. It was a wonderful speech. It was a tremendous privilege to be with this Republican majority in the House, the Senate, and now Donald Trump in the White House.
You guys control everything now. But John, Congressman, this is astounding. The last we talked, you were struggling to control what was going on under Obama and then Eric Holder. And then did you get any headway in controlling any of the budgetary items when Loretta Lynch was in the Attorney General's office? Because she controlled the DOJ, right?
Yes, she did. And it was a struggle, Michael. But I discovered if you control 100% of a bureaucrat's money, you've got 100% of his attention every time. It's tough, but it works. And I call it standing on their air hose. And I stood on the air hose of the Department of Justice until I forced them last July to identify the top 10 sanctuary cities in America and notify those 10, which includes the entire state of California, that California would lose all of their federal law enforcement grant money unless they stopped shielding and protecting criminal illegal aliens in their jails and prisons like this scum that killed poor Kay Steinle.
How much money is involved with that? I know that in San Francisco they get $1 billion a year just for the city of SF. What is it statewide, Congressman?
For the state of California, they receive over $68 million.
Wait, did you say B as in billion?
No, million. $68 million for the state of California. They would forfeit that $68 million immediately, is gone. And then, under the policy I made Loretta Lynch put in place last July, California, if they will not repeal their sanctuary law, would owe us a refund of about $1.8 to $2 billion if they don't repeal their statewide sanctuary law. The top 10 list, Michael, includes Chicago, New York City, Miami, Milwaukee, Las Vegas. Now, Trump just made that apply nationwide. God bless him. He just made it apply to the whole country. I was able to get 10 of them done as subcommittee chairman on the committee, but now we have a president who will actually enforce the law, secure our borders, get our, make sure our flag is honored, our culture is secure. Like you said, Michael, it's all about borders, language, and culture. You knew it.
Congressman, it's very interesting to me when you think about the budget that you control. You're the chairman of the subcommittee on commerce, justice, science, and related agencies. What is the budget of your subcommittee?
I'm responsible in this, for about $61 billion, very precious and hard-earned tax dollars to make sure they're spent wisely, carefully.
$61 billion? You actually have an oversight over that amount of money?
$61 billion as subcommittee chairman, and I make sure that if these agencies or these local jurisdictions, you want federal money, follow federal law. It's very simple. And I also,
well, what's amazing, you know, Congressman, I have so many things we have to say at once. Don't mind me if I cut you off. I'm a very, very rude New Yorker, but you're a very tough Texan, so you can take it. You got the hide of a reptile, and I love that. In fact, I love when you and I went to the museum together a number of years ago, and I tried to introduce you to some of those snot-nosed women in the Fine Arts Museum, and they turned their back on you. I don't think they'll be turning their back on you in the future, do you?
No, it's a whole new world, isn't it, Michael? Isn't it wonderful? It's like Christmas.
Remember when you said to me, you see, you're tougher than me. I'm more sensitive than you. I got offended by it, and I started to boil because I never forget an enemy. As long as I live, I never forget an insult. Never. But I also never forget a friend. You took it a different way. You said to me, Mike, it's fun to be behind. You said to me something like, it's great to be in Indian country with you. And I knew what you were talking about. You turned it into sort of a game, didn't you?
Yeah, that's it. That's what Texans call it, deep in Comanche country. You know, and you got to
I live in Comanche country here. Only they're not Comanches. They're Banshees out here. I got to tell you, Congressman. Now, you control funding for NASA. Now, why? I want to hear your love for the Jet Propulsion Lab and NASA. Tell us about what you want to do over there, would you please?
Well, the joy of this subcommittee is I also get not only to help make sure the money's spent wisely, but I can map out a vision, as I've done, in the Commerce, Justice, Science Appropriations Bill, which I just passed the one last year, Michael. I've laid out a 50-year vision for NASA that begins with the discovery of life in another world, the ocean world of Europa, a moon of Jupiter that has 2 to 3 times more salt water than Earth, and the scientists almost are a complete agreement that there's life in that ocean. They wanted to go there for decades. So I made sure that, so I get to help make sure we're going to discover life in another world. Then I've gotten asked and directed to find the nearest Earth-like planet around the nearest solar system, and then told NASA to develop an interstellar rocket engine so that in our lifetime, Michael, in our kids' lifetime, I will force NASA to launch the humanity's first interstellar mission to the nearest Earth-like planet with life on it.
Oh, my God. You know what I just feel going through my system right now? You know I have a bit of the spiritualist in me. As you are talking to me about your vision, I suddenly saw an image called Dallas Calling, Dallas Control Calling. I saw images of the 1960s, the control center when we launched our first rockets into space. You know those early images of all of those brilliant engineers and technicians sitting down there sending rockets into space? Wasn't one of that President Obama's first acts to destroy NASA? Didn't he defund NASA almost the first day he took office?
He did. President Obama tried to defund NASA, defund our military, crippled the country, America at home and abroad, crippled our dearest friend on Earth, Israel, done everything he could to undermine them. Those days are over. I became chairman of this subcommittee 2 years ago. In my first year, I got NASA the largest budget they've ever had in the history of the agency since they were created, made sure the human spaceflight program is going to be the best on Earth, and that we will discover life in another world and launch these exciting, extraordinary missions that will inspire our children and grandchildren. And as long as humans inhabit the Earth, Michael, we will remember in the history books when life was first discovered on another world, and it will be an American spacecraft that does that.
I'm just awed by this. You know, I knew that it was going to be a milestone in my career to have you on the show today. I just had an intuition about it. Then when I called you this morning, I knew it was going to be. But now you've topped all of my expectations because I knew how good you were, but I didn't know you were this visionary. Where did this visionary aspect of your thinking come from, this thing about the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, NASA, other life on other planets? Where does this come from, Congressman Culberson?
a love of science. I'm self-taught. I do all this on my own. I love wonderful staff, but the NASA and the science is all me. I'm an amateur astronomer, have been since I was 12, born and raised in Houston. Those astronauts, the Apollo, the Gemini astronauts, are all my childhood heroes, and I always wanted to be able to help make NASA the best on Earth, and now I finally can by controlling their budget with the privilege I have of being the district representative for West Houston, and all Houstonians, all Americans love NASA. I have got them on a path to make sure they have the money they need to make sure our manned program is the best on Earth. And, Michael, what a privilege. I have made it possible for NASA to find life on another world, find that nearest Earth-like planet, and then launch the first interstellar mission to another Earth-like world. It will be an American spacecraft, because I have the privilege of representing the people of West Houston. Actually get to help make sure we're going to go where no man's gone before, seeking out new life and new civilizations. It's just extraordinary.
I'm sitting here awestruck, because when we spoke privately this morning, just as President Trump was about to enter that room, you were so kind to take my call on your cell phone. I had no idea that you have an almost photographic memory, because I started to say to you, well, you sit on the science, the NSF committee, I would like to help in some way. And you said, how did you know what my PhD dissertation was? And how did you know that I'm an expert in ethnobotany? How did you know that I have plant collections in 7 museums around the world? How do you remember all these things?
I'm a big fan of yours, Michael, and I love science, and you're absolutely right about botany and the medical applications. The good Lord has got so many wonderful medicines hidden away in the plants and life all over the planet, and it's scientists like you who go out and find these medicines that the good Lord has provided throughout the food chain, and it's a great work that you've done. I remember I admire the work that you did, and I am responsible for the National Science Foundation funding as well. I just met with them on Monday, and I get to help ensure that American scientific research is the best on Earth, that we're building the best, the fastest supercomputer, that we're making sure we're building the best telescopes, and we're building the best particle accelerators and colliders, and that American science is unparalleled, unmatched anywhere on Earth, and that our space program will be the first to find life and go to the nearest Earth-like planet around a nearby solar system. What a privilege.
Make American science great again. Boy, oh boy, are you amazing. So, well, I wanted to say this. You know, in one of my previous books, I think it was Government Zero, I talked about the Lysenko affair in Russia, where a government geneticist by the name of Lysenko distorted all of genetics in order to please the dictator Stalin. Of course, it was false science, it was fake science, and was made to look like his food production was better than it was. I compared that to what Obama did to science in America, in faking science, in hiring scientists who would support his ignoble theory of global warming and deny funding to any denier of such. And I mean, the evidence, by the way, is quite controversial, as you know, and as I pointed out many times, all you got to do is look at some of the other evidence that has been suppressed, such as the Vostok ice core samples, which I wrote about in Government Zero. What are we going to do about all of this fake science that's been funded under Obama? How are we going to correct the that direction, Congressman?
We're going to get the political interference out of the way and follow the facts and get the scientists in there who will actually do the work to uncover the facts and the truth. And just, what did Joe Friday say on Dragnet? Just the facts, ma'am. That's all we need. Give us the facts. We don't hear any political agenda. No political agenda one way or the other. We want the pure science. Follow the facts. And the answer, that's what we as policymakers and Americans need, is accurate data. And, we frankly have a lot more to fear from ice ages and freezing than we do from any warming. And
I think the data is showing we're moving towards a mini ice age again, as we had in the Middle Ages, by the way. I think that's conveniently forgotten. And I was thinking about something on my bicycle today. You know, as a botanist, they say, well, what do you really know about science? Well, all the years I traversed some of the most remote places on Earth. I'm talking about places that are truly remote, such as the Marquesas Islands and things like that, collecting plants. I said, well, what do I really know about global warming? And I said, well, wait a minute. Do these geniuses who talk so much about global warming and the carbon and its dangerous effects know anything about the Carboniferous period? They probably don't even know the elementary school level knowledge of the Carboniferous period. Without carbon, there'd be no Carboniferous period. Without the Carboniferous period, there would have been no life on Earth. Am I correct?
Exactly right, Michael. These, the politically correct crowd is done more damage to science. We just need scientists doing the work, finding the facts, and uncovering the evidence so we can make good decisions. And I'm quite confident that we will, with President Trump in the White House, and certainly under my guidance on the subcommittee. I've asked the National Science Foundation to get rid of NASA. Get all these, you know, politically correct.
Okay, Congressman, I got to take a quick commercial break because without these great people, we would be no show. I want to hear more about what you're doing. You got another few minutes for us?
I'm right here, my friend.
And then I want to talk about me helping you steer some aspects of the NSF for $1 a year when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Going to go right back to Congressman John Culberson, Republican of America, on the Savage Nation. Congressman, is there any way that I, with my expertise, can help you in your quest to improve science in this country?
Absolutely, Michael. There's a role you can play not only in helping to advise and guide me in the work I'm responsible. I'm the chief financial officer for the National Science Foundation, so you can only help guide and advise me and in my work, but also at the National Science Foundation. We need to. I would be my privilege to introduce you to some of the folks over there, so you can learn more about their operations and find a way for you to. There's all sorts of advisory boards and committees that the National Science Foundation relies on to guide them in the work that they do. And within your area of specialty, your knowledge as a PhD and a botanist, I think, would just be invaluable. And your factual, straightforward approach to science. That would just be invaluable.
You know, you know what I still have on my wall? Remember the gift you gave me when you came out here of that bullet from the Alamo? Do you recall that diorama you gave me?
That's it, and a Texas Lone Star and a bullet from the Alamo. Absolutely.
I remember it. I still have that beautiful thing hanging on my wall. That was some piece of lead that they used in those days, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And those guys could have escaped. What's particularly wonderful about the Alamo, and it's why I love Israel so much. You think about it. Israel's got their own Alamo. We have our own Masada. Both the two Lone Star states, founded by nations, an area surrounded by enemies. They wanted to kill them and drive them into the sea, but they're too ferocious and independent and well-armed, worshiping the same God. And the men of the Alamo, they could have left at any time. They could have just walked away and escaped with their lives, but they chose to stay there in order to make a new nation in Texas.
This is so beautiful. Congressman, when are you coming out west? I've got to take you to dinner in San Francisco. We got to eat together. We got to break some heads together. I mean, some bread together and stuff like that. When are you coming out?
Yeah, Michael, I'll be there in February visiting the Jet Propulsion Laboratory for the next I come out every year to plan the next phase of the Europa mission, to give me an orbiter and a lander to land on that ice sheet and look for life in that ocean. I'll be there in late February, then I'm coming to San Francisco. We will get together and break bread, my friend, and plan.
God bless you. You are the greatest congressman right now because you control the money for the Department of Justice. My God, heads are going to roll. Heads are going to roll as you get out your calculator and see what you can do to stop the sanctuary city madness. Congressman John Culberson, God bless you, and thank you so much for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's coming down to it all over again. Pancho Villa returns. Trump is laying down the gauntlet. He's saying he wants to put a 20% import tax on all Mexican goods to pay for the wall. This is something people never expected. And we are talking about that. We also had Congressman John Culberson of Texas on the show in the last hour. It was probably the best 30 minutes of radio I've had in many, many years because it's very personal to me. I have a deep interest in science, and I have watched science go off the rails over the last number of years, being completely politicized by extreme environmental wackos and other form of grifters who will not listen to science on the other side. And as Congressman Culberson said, we'll go where the science goes, but we want to see all of it. And he controls, a small amount. He's on the committee that controls $67 billion. He's a chairman of one of the major subcommittees, which is overseeing the Department of Justice and the National Science Foundation. So keep laughing at old Michael Savage all you want, all of your refined university types. But very soon, you won't be laughing anymore. The worm has turned. Trump is president. You lost. We won. We control it. You don't. And just as Trump is going to make America great again, I hope the congressman calls upon me to help him make science great again in America, because the last thing we need is a politicized science establishment, which under Obama has become a laughingstock. All right, let's talk about the Mexico thing, the science thing, and any other topic that I touched on. It's an exciting day for me personally. I hope it is for you. Trump is spinning their heads. Spinning their heads. He threw out the border chief, threw him out. They don't know what to do. Dizzying pace. 59% approval rating in third day. Okay, so let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. How would you pay for the wall? What would you do to pay for the wall? Now, on the issue of Trump and his deportations, I think it's very important that I clarify my position once again. I am on record having said that the place to begin with deportations is not amongst the hard-working, job-holding illegal aliens, but amongst the prison population, of whom the population is approximately 27, 28, 29% illegal aliens who came here, committed multiple felonies until they finally got caught and convicted. So that means one out of three prisoners could be deported. And I believe that is what Trump is talking about. I have some Mexican friends who are here illegally. They're great people. They're the hardest working people I ever met in my life. And frankly, I try to get them a green card, because I love these people so much. I couldn't do it. I can't do anything illegal, nor would I. I couldn't do it legally. There was no way for me to help these guys. And they've asked me, and they said, do you think we're going to be deported? They're very worried. These are wonderful people. And I said, truthfully, no, I don't think he's going to deport you. I personally said yesterday, and I'll repeat again today, and people got mad at me, because I'm on record with it. I'll repeat it again. I think we need to deport the illegal aliens, the criminals, and I think that we need to figure out a way to grant amnesty to many of the workers. Now, many of you say, wait a minute, that's a reversal of your position. No, it is not. I'm on record saying the very same thing. What are you going to do? You're going to go pick the crops? You're going to work the construction jobs? You're going to work in the restaurants? I mean, be realistic. It's easy to sit there in your living room and say, throw them all out, and then ask yourself how the economy is going to keep running. That's number one. But there is a caveat to what I just said, and that caveat is, you check to see if they've received any kind of welfare or government assistance during the time they are here. If they have, sorry, they're going. Number two, if you grant any kind of amnesty, there is no any government support of any kind for at least 5 years. Number two, they cannot grant the green card to any relatives for 10 years. They cannot bring their families in. And three, they have to pay a back tax and a huge one. So don't think that I'm that doctrinaire on this issue of immigration. I'm a humanist, number one, but I'm a practical man, number two. Number three, if you actually go to the factories in this country, and I don't think many of you have, it's easy to sit in a radio studio and sit there and say, I'm a purist, throw them all out. Go ahead, keep saying it. But go to any factory in the United States of America and see who's working on those production lines. It's some of the worst jobs in America, held by illegal aliens. Who's going to do those jobs? You? The college boy who walks around with his hat on backwards, who's stoned out of his mind, with his pants falling down off his behind, he's going to work at a factory? He's lucky he can get up in the morning. You know, the mother takes care of him, the father takes care of him, he sits at home till he's 29 years old. He's going to work in a factory? Never. It's never going to happen. So be very careful with the unintended consequences of your purist philosophy. Now, I also want to talk about my projections of what's going to happen if this keeps up. Okay, 20% import tax, deportations, great. If we go too fast and too far, and I don't know if Donald Trump knows this, he is surrounded by good people and some, well, let's say not great people. They're zealots. It doesn't make them very smart. Anyone can be zealous. But if you're too zealous, you become a zealot. And I'm afraid that there are zealots around them who don't understand where they're pushing him. And listen to what I'm saying to you. You know, I'm writing a very important book called Trump's War. And, of course, I point out those in the Republican Party are pushing him to the left. But did I tell you that I also worry about the zealous zealots who are pushing him too far to the right? What do I mean by that? Well, let me explain it, because I never have done so. And write it down and record it, because it's going to make history. If you push Mexico too far, you will create a social upheaval south of the border that will wash over to the north of the border. What do I mean by that? You'll have open revolution in Mexico. You will have the gangs take over the country completely. You will have a border war unlike any you've ever seen, and the Border Patrol will not be able to stop it. You're going to have to militarize the border and put tanks on the border and turn it into something like Eastern Europe was 50 years ago. I don't think we want that. So, again, it's wonderful to be zealous in theory and to sit in an armchair or behind the microphone and be super zealous and even become a zealot. But on the other hand, when you enact policies that are overly zealous, you can produce unintended consequences. Mark down those words, because they're 100% true and they're prescient. Now let's talk about that. Those of you who know what I'm talking about, Jim, we're leaving one open line for this. What do you think could be some of the unintended consequences of going too far and too fast with this border situation and deportations? How's that? You want to talk about that? I think we should talk about that. KFAQ, Oklahoma, Sally, line 8, 30 seconds or less, go. You're up in the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Nice to talk to you. I wanted to say that I love your idea of taxing the money that they send back to Mexico. To me, that's much better than putting an import on, which in effect we'll be paying.
Okay, thank you. And I think we should keep it to that. The lines are so jammed right now. People are so excited for my excitement and what's going on that they're all calling in, and there's one open line. Again, I want to leave that open line for one thing only. What do you think are some of the unintended consequences if we go too far too fast with our border wall and with the deportations? There will be unintended consequences. It sounds good on paper, but we must be very, very careful with what we are trying to enact, because things can happen that will boomerang on us, and we have to be very cautious about it. And I think that sober minds need to prevail right now. As I say, he is surrounded by some good people and some people who are not that good. They're very lucky to have gotten where they are, but they may not be deep thinkers. They may be glib thinkers and quick thinkers, but not deep thinkers. And I'm a deep thinker. I can be a glib thinker and a glib speaker, but let me tell you something. I'm also very thoughtful, and I take my time before I derive at a conclusion. So we don't have one call on that idea. We have calls on the other ideas. Where are the calls on science, though? I wanted one person in the United States of America listening to this program on all of my great stations from New York to San Francisco to call me and talk about these things. Tell us what you have experienced as an academic or as a scientist in your quest to get on an honest science funded. That's a great show topic, not one call. I mean, anyone could do the other stuff, but let's talk about that. That's what I'm interested in, not one call. Maybe we'll get one. Let's go to WABC in New York City. Chris, what's your idea for funding the wall? Go ahead, please.
All right, Dr. Savage. One, I got two, but one's very simple. It seems like a no-brainer there. What about branding the wall into a name and letting one of these big companies occupy the name, like call it the MetLife Stadium, the MetLife Wall? You know, it'll be in every paper. Every time the wall is mentioned, your name is...
Well, what if... Okay, you have a good idea, but why not give 1 mile of each wall to a different sponsor? We could do it that way, $100 million. $100 million. Let's say $100 million every quarter of a mile.
There's no shame in that.
So think about that. If you charge a company $100 million for naming rights for a wall, and then I don't know how long the wall is going to be. What, is it going to be 1,000 miles long? I mean, the border is longer than that. I don't know how long it's going to be. But let's take a number like 1,000 miles that can actually hold up a wall or be walled. So divide 1,000 miles and just start with 1,000 different sponsors or corporate sponsors. But they're not. Here's why they won't do it, Chris, thinking it through with you. Because the companies are cowardly. They don't want controversy. So just as they will not advertise on the Savage Nation, even though many of you, for example, drive cars, I do not have one car sponsor. Think about that. Because the liberals control the ad agencies, and they're afraid to come on shows like this. Even though most of the people who drive cars would love to have a car sponsor, they will not come on this show. So I don't think it's going to work. And then the companies will back off. That's why that won't work. Now, what about this idea that Culberson talked about, finding life on other planets? Didn't that trigger any thoughts in anyone out there? Didn't that excite you? I sat here and got chills up my spine when he was talking about that. I thought that was one of the most exciting things I've heard in my lifetime. I got images of the 1960s again with all those bright men sitting in the control room in Houston. Now, what were you saying, Robert? What was the saying? Houston, come in. Houston could... Well, not we have a problem, but Houston, the eagle has landed. I saw those images, maybe from the movies, the right stuff, whatever like that, where you see all those brilliant engineers, their hair was cut close, they wore white shirts and ties, they didn't look like bums who just came off the Bowery. And speaking of bums just came off the Bowery, Mr. Trump, if this message gets to you, can you put in a new demand that reporters no longer lay on the floor during press conferences with their filthy clothing, taking pictures in Congress? Make them come to work with a suit and tie or a jacket and tie, and make them stand up on the sides and not lay all over the floor like they're a bunch of spoiled brats in a kindergarten. How's that for restoring American pride? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. All right, it's, you know, the shootout at the OK Corral. I mean, this is a big showdown with Mexico. That's what Trump has done. He's laid down the gauntlet, basically saying we're putting a 20% import tax. We're going to deport the criminal aliens. We're doubling the border patrol. We're trebling this. We're trebling that. We're defunding sanctuary cities. They don't know which way to turn. He fired the border patrol chief. It's astounding. The sanctuary mayors don't know which way to turn because he does control a lot of their money. So the question is, where is this all going to lead? And as I said, if we go too far too fast, we're liable to have unintended consequences. We have to think very carefully. As I said again, and I'll say again and again and again, it's great to be zealous, but if you're overzealous, you become a zealot. We don't need to become Masada, okay? I don't want this country to become an economic Masada by making an overly zealous step here and there. No one heard that yet from the Trump campaign because I'm not his spokesman. I'm only a talk show host who reaches millions of people and write bestsellers. I don't wear dresses that make me look like a toy soldier. Jimmy on WBOB line one. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
If you consider the United States sort of Mexico's big brother, and with treaties and things sort of keeping them safe, if we eliminate that, you create a vacuum there, and Mexico's going to look for another big brother, and it may not be somebody that we like being so close to our border.
You raise one of the most important questions with regard to unintended consequences. It could easily be China, couldn't it?
Yes, that's the bear in the woods that we don't want to see.
Well, for example, what if Mexico said, okay, gringo, you don't like us. What we're doing is we're opening up our ports to Chinese aircraft carriers. How would that work for us?
Not well. Not well.
So in other words, this gigantic nation of Mexico could become like Cuba to us all over again.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm not old enough to have been around when that was happening, but all the things I've heard and read about it, it sure sounds eerily similar that situation could happen again.
Jim, you're a very careful thinker. I'm sending you a copy of a carefully thought-out book called What? If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of my new book?
Trump's War.
Bingo! See, he had to think, but he won it. He wins the prize. Bung! He wins the prize. You got to remember the book. What about you, folks? What do you want to say about this topic? What are the consequences of this? What do you want to say about science and the direction it should go in? Jessica, WGOW, Tennessee, Line 8. You're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thanks for having me on, Savage Nation. The first thing I'd like to say regarding science has to do with the vaccines. We have... You know, all this stuff about climate change out there, that's not the real thing that we should be concerned with. Vaccines, we have two issues specifically. One is it's basically self-funded research-wise. Those vaccines are never studied for safety. When they do research studies, it's always against another vaccine. So
let's talk about this rationally for a moment. Imagine a world without vaccines. What kind of diseases do you think would become prevalent?
I'm not necessarily saying, you know, we shouldn't have vaccines. What I'm saying is we need to...
Listen to me. I know this issue very, very well and quite intimately. However, if we rush in one direction, we're going to wind up creating diseases in this country that you can never imagine. And here's another problem with this anti-vaccine movement that's going on. And I know that Trump is an anti-vaxxer, by the way. That's why he appointed, of all people, the crackpot, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., to head up his vaccination committee, which is, he's also an anti-vaxxer. There is a great movement in America of anti-vaxxers who are very well-intentioned, but do not have all of the facts. And it is connected somewhat to the terrible epidemic of autism in this country. And I think it needs to be discussed and dissected properly. If we rush again in the direction of no vaccines, we're going to have a resurgence of diseases amongst children that will be fatal and produce unintended consequences in that regard, meaning increased fatalities of some diseases. And that is a result not only of the fact that there are diseases that children are subjected to that can be prevented with proper application of vaccines at the proper time, but because of the large influx of unvaccinated illegal aliens from third world cesspools. Do you agree with that?
Agreed. I'm advocating for safer vaccines where, you know, we're looking at ingredients, and also the vaccine manufacturers are completely exempt from any liability. So what obligation do they have to make a...
I hear you. No, this is a very important question. I'm not going to fob it off and just say that the science is in on it. There are a lot of safety issues. There are children who are neurologically damaged by vaccines for their entire life. I know all about this. I've seen it with my own eyes. However, let's not rush in the other direction and create an unsafe environment for our beautiful children.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage Nation back. I mean, come on, this is good stuff here. The world's changing in front of our eyes. It's like everything I dreamed about for the country is happening right in front of our eyes, but it's not going to be easy. You know, he passes the laws, he does the budgeting, but still in all, there's going to be resistance. You've got a movement of people in this country, well-funded, well-organized, mobilized, agitators. They're not going away. We are on the other side. We can't just sit quietly here and expect that just because he signs a bill, it's going to happen. There's going to come a time that we on the other side have to go down into the trenches and get in the faces of the other people on the other side of the line. I was watching the rioters, the protesters outside Trump's speech today in Philly. I saw the hysterical people, the unwashed people, the bureaucrats, the educrats, the medocrats. I saw them there. I got it. Then the crazies were mixed in. On the other side were the Trump supporters, and one of them had a big yellow sign. I was watching it on C-SPAN. It said, liberalism is a mental disorder. Well, they went crazy. The nuts, the mentally disordered, went nuts. They try to block a sign with other signs because they are nuts, and they don't like the truth. So we're going to have to be out there, and you need the Bible. The Bible that you need is Trump's war, which I'll tell you more about next month. Now let's go to the callers. Ray, KSFO, Line 8, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I'm up here in the North Bay in the wine country, and what a bunch of... I don't have any friends anymore. Everybody's brainwashed. They're sleepwalking. But I'm an engineer, and, you know, science is pretty apolitical. You start with hypothesis, and you test it, and you get proof, and you get a result. You don't start with a result.
You're right. It's as simple as that. But they don't understand that. Whenever you hear them say 98% of scientists agree, the science is in, you know that it's fraudulent. Is that correct?
That's correct. And you listen to these people, it's like my friends, former friends, it's like listening to a recording of CNN or one of these stations. It's just, it's maddening.
The first rule of science is that there are no absolutes. That I learned in the seventh grade. Do they even understand what that means? They don't even understand the first principle of science, which is that there are no absolutes. Meaning, science by definition is open to new discoveries, which means if 99% of scientists agreed with something, and then a new discovery came along that could be proven, well, that would dispense with all the beliefs of the 99% that preceded that discovery. That's what science is based upon. That's how science advances, which is on new evidence.
Well, everyone knows the world is flat.
Yeah, there you go. No, that's 100% right. Maybe that's where I can really help Congressman Culberson, which is using my powers of persuasion to start to shift public opinion on the fact that, no, 99% of all science is not in on global warming. Number one, that's a lie. But number two, even if it was true, it doesn't mean that that means that that's the ultimate reality of the global warming issue, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? It'd be great to have some way to connect with the other listeners up here in, you know, in Redland, up in the wine country. I don't know.
Oh, so you mean you're feeling isolated up there? You think you're the only island walking around up there?
Well, 30% of Sonoma County here voted for Trump, but I can't seem to find him.
Yes, that's the same percentage in Marin County, but you can't seem to find them. They're hidden. They're Muranos. They're afraid to talk because they think the liberals are so violent and so dangerous, but they're not. So I guess what you have to do is go around and get an American flag embossed on the back of your leather jacket and say, make America great again, and put your phone number on it. That's a joke, right? you know that the peaceful liberals, if you put Make America Great Again, a bumper sticker on your car, you know what the peaceful liberals would do? They would show how loving and peaceful they are. They would trash your car, Ray, because they're loving and peaceful.
Yeah, it's okay.
Ray, I'm sending you a copy of Trump's War when it comes out. Stay on the line. B.O.B. in Jacksonville, one of my greatest affiliates. You got to hear about the panhandle one of these days. The panhandle of Florida is to Florida as upstate New York is to New York City. Let's put it to you that way. Paul on WBOB in Florida, line 5. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Okay. I was excited, as you were, to listen to you and the congressman speak, because I always felt that Cape Canaveral, which is not too far from where I live, is a stepping-off place like Seville was in the 15th century in Spain. We're just at the brink of the precipice of going out into colonizing the galaxies. I think it's fabulous, the life and other planets, what would be there.
I never thought I would hear that from him for a couple of reasons. One, because I believe he is a devout Christian. So you'd say, well, with his Christian beliefs, how can he believe in life on other planets? That's because he's basically a scientist and an astronomer, as he said, since he's a child. And he goes where the evidence is,
yeah.
not where his doxies are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between religion and an open scientific mind, which is put the doxies aside, let's look at the evidence, correct?
Yes, definitely.
Well, Paul, I'm glad you're calling from a B.O.B. in Florida. You're right. It is a very exciting time. You win a copy of Trump's War as well. This is a very, very exciting day. I can't believe it's Thursday. This is one of the weeks in my life in radio that has just, I guess, surprised me. Began with Monday, Trump's first day. Look where we are by Thursday. We're living through a revolution. Do you know it's a revolution? Do you know that it's everything that we have dreamed of virtually our entire adult lives as we saw America being hijacked by the illegitimate left and the worldwide socialist movement? Do you understand that we're moving way back in the direction that we have to go in order to avoid losing our identity altogether and losing our sovereignty and being overrun completely by the third world in plain English? That's what's happening right in front of our eyes. KSMO, Bonnie. Thanks for calling. What are one of the consequences if we go too far too fast with Mexico?
Oh, I thank you, Mr. Savage, for taking my call. God bless you for what you do for this country. I can't get enough of you all day, every day. I think that it just really disturbs me that, yes, we need a wall, and, you know, we have like a million issues to fight, a million battles, but I'm more concerned. I don't think that going too fast is really the big concern. My concern overall is the seediness, the underground things, the drug cartels that have built there. I've seen documentaries where the drug cartels have underground tunnels, and there's a seething thing in America, and it's like you keep pointing out. We have this huge war that's just begun for us. It's just we're on the precipice of this major war within our country. Yes, it's
and what is that war?
The war it's against good and evil. It's the good and the evil. I mean, we're surrounded and we've been infiltrated by the evil from the past administration that helped to support and bring that evil in. And so now it's this mega thing where we're trying to come back and, you know.
So let's look at this from the point of view of the progressive liberal. What are you saying? All immigrants are evil?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying we have drug cartels in this country. I'm talking about the evil that has come in and has infiltrated this country.
Well, let's be very practical about it. Obama openly brought in women with babies infected with the Zika virus. If that's not evil, I'd like to know what is. He was the most evil president in American history. For that alone, the man should be hunted down and tried for crimes against the American people. He knowingly brought in Honduran women whose children were infected with the Zika virus. Why would he do that unless he wanted to harm the general population?
Well, clearly, I mean,
I don't mention Cornflake on this show. There's one person in the media I don't mention, and he was one of them. I think he's totally insane, personally, and a complete fraud, if you want to know the truth. He was great a number of years ago, and then all of a sudden something happened. He turned against Trump, worse than any progressive I've ever seen in my life. So that's the end of that one. Science. Let's go to WABC. Line 8. Go ahead, sir. What's your name?
There you go. Savage.
Hello.
Yes, talk. You're on the national radio show called The Savage Nation.
Yes, love your show, and I think it's great that we're going to be refocusing on the space program and the sciences. We have too many young minds that are very sharp and need a goal to work for instead of all the lunacy that they're being pointed into. And it's good that we don't need to depend on the Russians to get us to the space station. We should be doing that on our own.
Now, let's talk about that for a minute. One of the first things that the evil President Obama did upon being foisted upon us was end all funding for NASA. He ended basically the manned space flight program. And he forced us to buy seats on the Soyuz rockets to get into the space station. He turned us into, in essence, second-class space citizens. That's the first thing he did. That is the first thing that Obama did to our science enterprises. He destroyed us in space. And he did so to advance, listen to this, both China and Russia in the space race. And now at the end of his administration, he tries to start a war with Russia. How does that figure? It shows that you had a deranged man for 8 years in the White House. Thanks, Jim. Not easy to see all of these things and to hold on to all of them, my friends, but I do. I see it all, and I hold on to it all. The phone number is 855-407-282. KMAJ, Kansas. Mark, line 6, 30 seconds or less. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, sir, for taking my phone call. Keep exposing the facts. I want to express real quickly something that happened to me, talking about viruses.
Sorry you're breaking up. Bad cell phone connection. You're a bright guy, but it didn't work. KVOR, way up there in Colorado. Colorado Springs, the home of the Air Force Academy, where the leader of the Air Force has never flown a Piper Cub. Jay, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, unintended consequences about Mexico. When we send back all the criminals to Mexico, they don't have the prison capacity to house all of them. Some will be turned loose. A lot of that will cause, you know, American tourists will become ATM machines. Tourism is huge in Mexico. When that dries up, there will be when people starve, it'll look like Venezuela. So
that's right. That's another consequence. You collapse the economy of our populous southern nation. We're going to pay for it because we cannot have a destabilized Mexico. They've always had a fight to keep the socialist revolution from taking over Mexico. Am I correct about that?
You are. I live in Puerto Vallarta. It's 6 months out of the year.
Well, people don't know that Mexico is a socialist nation. It's fundamentally this socialist. I mean, they have an oil, a base of oil that's the second largest in the entire world. Where is that oil? Who controls that oil?
Their government. And, you know, you just seen the riots in Mexico over them raising the prices of gas. We got a notice from the U.S. consulate, you know, one night, New Year's Eve night, saying you stay away from the gas stations because you don't want to get caught up. The cartel burned the gas stations. So when you destroy their tourism, you're destroying a big part of their economy.
Well, that's why I say on this radio show, and I don't know if I'm being heard by any of the zealots who work for Donald Trump, it's all nice to hear and nice to talk about, but maybe if we go too fast, we're going to turn our zealousness into something very, very dangerous. That's what I've been trying to say, Jay. We got to go a little more slowly, I think. Don't you?
Yes, I do. I mean, it's all good. It's all good.
Here's the problem. I'm the architect of borders, language, and culture, so let's turn it right back on me. And I've called for some of these policies, but they have to be thought out, and they have to be integrated in a logical, chronological manner. They can't just be imposed upon a nation.
No, they can't. I mean...
That's all. Thank you. See, this is the difference. It's like when I disagreed with the call that Donald Trump either made or received from the president of Taiwan. I was condemned by many of you. I was attacked all over Facebook and on michaelsavage.com. You said, oh, you're attacking Trump. Are you a liberal? Are you a progressive? Stop being stupid for a minute and think this through. That was too much, too quick. It insulted China. It violated their whole sense of dignity. It's not the way you negotiate with the nation of China. I said that because I understand cultural differences. There are cultural differences, and it's one thing to be brash when running for office. It's another thing to be brash when dealing with nations. And you have to be very cautious. What works for you in business and what works for you on the campaign trail may have the opposite effect in the real world. Has anyone said that on Donald Trump's side? I doubt it. Why? Because he is not surrounded by thoughtful individuals like me. He is surrounded by intelligent people who are zealous and perhaps a little too zealous for the sake of Donald Trump's political future and for the sake of the nation. I stand by those words. You may not agree with me right now because we're all cheering him for what he's doing. But if we go too fast and too hard, we're liable to wind up with unintended consequences. Mark this date down, and you will see that what I just said is very important. I'll be back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I want to close the show with something I hope to open the show with tomorrow, which is mysticism, because it's something I don't talk about very often. But many of you have felt today, listening to this show, if you listened to me for many years, that I was called for this duty on the radio a long time ago. I've stayed on the radio through thick and through thin with every impediment imaginable, some of which I'm fighting every day to this day. And I thought it was God's will, as I said, and so did Congressman Culberson. He said to me, God chose you to save America and Israel. That's what he said to me, not me. Okay. I just received an email from a Jewish scholar, a Torah scholar, who I'll not tell you about. But he said to me, your name, Michael Savage, has 13 letters and makes up the Star of David. And then he put a prime number 13 as the star number. And he talked about the Unity Holograph, which is built upon an ascending set of multiples of 13 as follows. And he gives me the Hebrew and the numbers, numerology. This is for those of you who are into numerology and mysticism. And he says to me, he says, I believe that what you say has great meaning. And as you said, the culture of the ear is what you are immersed in, the culture of the ear, which is that the truth is not solely based on the eye in things that we can see and believe in, but rather, like the religion of Judaism itself, it is based upon a culture of the ear. Because the Jewish people do not believe that we can see God. We believe that we can sense God or hear God. And so I'll leave it at that because I'm going to pick up with this tomorrow. Mysticism and magic, right here on the Savage Nation.